people of hope. God has called us to be, he is a God of hope. He is the God of hope. And because he is the God of hope, he has called us to be a people of hope. And we read this verse last week at the beginning, 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. We talked about how there are many things that will pass away when we go from this side of eternity into eternity. When we're in the presence of Jesus, there's a lot of things that we won't need. In the same chapter that Paul wrote these words, he said that prophecy will cease. We're going to be living in the presence of Jesus. Who needs prophetic words when Jesus is right there speaking to you face to face, right? Now it's not, it's God still speaks through prophecy today, through the gifts of the Spirit today to his people. But there will come a day when we cross over from this life to the next where we will not need some things. But Paul says, but these three remain, faith, hope, and love. These things last into eternity. These are eternal. Faith, hope, and love. And we said how sometimes it seems like hope is the little brother, the little forgotten brother of faith and love. But then we looked at a verse last week that said that faith and love spring from hope. Hope is actually way more important than we think it is. Hope is vital for human flourishing. Interesting, the video that we saw from Teen Challenge, she said that the greatest problem of addiction is not addiction, but it's the loss of hope. Isn't that interesting? The greatest problem with addiction is not addiction, it is the loss of hope. Loss of hope. Hope is vital for human flourishing. If we don't have a mindset of hope for the future, we can easily be swallowed by despair that can crush us. And hope really can be a life or death issue. Now, as we established last week, true hope springs, as we said, from the God of hope. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Do you know that? Do you know that down deep? He doesn't just have a plan for some people's lives, for special people's lives, for some group of holy people's lives. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Whether you've been walking it out or not, whether you've believed it or not, whether you've known it or not, he has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a plan and a purpose for his people as a whole, and he has a plan and purpose for the entire human race. That all of this is going towards the human experience, life on planet Earth. It's all moving towards a very hope-filled renewal of all things when Jesus returns. The beginning is near. The beginning is near. There's a lot of people who will tell you that the end is near, but folks, it's the beginning. The beginning is near. One of the verses that we looked at last week says this, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, He has given us new birth. If you know Jesus, you've been born again. He's given you a new birth, a restart, a do-over, a mulligan, whatever you want to call it, right? A new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We have a living hope that begins in the resurrection of Jesus and finds its completion in his soon return. But it's a living hope. As we said last week, it's a living hope. That means it's not only pie in the sky when you die by and by hope. It is hope for today, for living, not just for dying, for living. Hope actually makes a difference in how we live. Hope brings a quality of life that changes what today looks like. And so here I'm going to fire some things at you that I think hope does. Well, the scriptures tell us that hope does in our lives. First of all, hope frees us from stuff. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says this. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. But even back then, it was so uncertain, right? But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. See, God isn't trying to just squash your life. Interesting. He provides us everything for our enjoyment. But don't hope in the stuff. Don't hope in the enjoyment. Don't hope in the moment. Hope in God. Right? Paul was challenging Timothy to ask the people he was leading, where is your hope really? You may have made a profession of faith in Christ, but where is your hope really? Can we say that we are living for eternity? I bet if I asked everyone here today, if you're living for eternity, you'd say, oh yeah, of course, Pastor, I'm living for eternity. But when push comes to shove, are we banking on this life or on the next? Right? Are we more concerned about how big a retirement stash we have, or how much stuff we have, or are we more concerned about how many lives we impact for the kingdom before we check out? Jesus said that we are better off storing up treasure in heaven than counting on things that don't last. When our eyes are on eternity, we invest in relationships. We invest in people. We invest in our relationship with God. We invest our time helping people move towards the kingdom of God. And that is worth more than 100 fortunes, folks. Hope frees us from stuff. Secondly, hope gives us endurance. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I find people don't have endurance anymore. When my parents and grandparents grew up, I don't know, using an outdoor toilet, I heard all the stories growing up. All the catalogs that got crumpled up. when you live that kind of life, you know, there's some toughness to you. There's some endurance, right? I don't know. But today, if things are difficult, people just want to give up. If it costs them to live for Jesus, they want to take the easy way out. But as followers of Christ, with an eternity of glory before us, surely we can put suffering and difficulty and challenges that we might face in this world, we can put them in perspective. Hardship is horrible when all you have is this life and you want to squeeze every moment of pleasure and joy and comfort out of the short time you have here. But if we put this life in perspective of eternity and we have a certain hope of an eternity with Jesus, where all suffering here will be truly put in its perspective, where every tear will be wiped away to be spilled no more, it enables us, that hope enables us to endure. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. That's what losing hope looks like, right? Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away. Can anybody say amen? Right? Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles. Now, before you jump to conclusions here, before you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? My troubles are not light and momentary. I got some tough stuff I'm dealing with. The guy that wrote this wrote later in the same letter, he said, I was whipped 5 times within an inch of my life. I was beaten with rods 3 times. I was stoned with rocks and left for dead. I was shipwrecked 3 times. Faced all kinds of troubles for the sake of the gospel. That's the guy who says, these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Folks, it doesn't matter what you're going through today, what you walk through tomorrow, what next month brings. It doesn't matter what comes your way. I mean, it matters, but no matter what comes your way, the glory that you will step into when you leave this life will more than make up for every trouble that you face here. And he goes on, he says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Folks, that is hope at work in our lives, giving us endurance when we face stuff, and we all do. Life is hard. It is. Life living for Jesus is hard. It is. But keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on eternity. Endure. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't go with the current. It is easier. I know it is. It's easier to just stop swimming and go with the current the wrong way down the river. But I'm telling you folks today, don't give up. Keep moving towards the glory of eternity. Amen? Hope changes our work ethic. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, the New Living Translation. 1 Timothy 4:10, for those that are taking notes. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of believers. This is why we work hard, Paul says, because our hope is in God. Why bother? Why work hard? If we know we're going, where we're going, why don't we just chill out till Jesus comes? Right? Just coast. We'll get there, right? Yeah, because we've got work to do. Jesus left us with a job to do. He left us with a mission to reach the world with the hope of the gospel, to make disciples and baptize until he returns. He said it would be good for us if the master found us working when he came back. I can just picture myself saying that to my grandkids. It'll be good for you if I find you working when I get back. Right? Make your bed. Be good for us if the master finds us busy doing his work when he returns. If we truly believe that there is an eternal hope for those who trust in Christ, and there is a terrible hell for those who reject him, it would be the worst kind of selfishness for us to just give up on humanity and keep the hope to ourselves. It'd be like having the cure for cancer in our hands, and instead of getting it into the hands of the doctors who can use it, we throw it in a drawer and go on a Disney World vacation. Right? That's why we work hard, Paul says. Carrie Ann and Liam, who just brought Ezra into the world, they bought a house in November on the Ottawa River. And they found out that some years the river rises so significantly that the houses can get badly flooded. And the community there offered free sand and sandbags, but you had to fill them yourself. And pile the sandbags, keep the water from flooding your home. Filling sandbags is not an exciting activity, right? If we got a, you know, a pile of sand delivered here and a bunch of bags, and I said, who wants to do this? Who wants to fill bags with sand? I wouldn't get too many volunteers. But do you think Carrie Ann and Liam had some motivation to work hard? Well, who did I say? Liam had motivation, not Carrie Ann. All right, I stand corrected. She was pregnant, very pregnant. Do you think Liam had some motivation? Right? He was in there with a shovel, filling bags and piling bags, right? Because there was a reason to get it done. Changes how we work. The hope of eternity gives us a reason to give our all for Jesus and his kingdom. Hope means we grieve differently. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. I've done a lot of funerals in the last 33 years. And believe me, those who know where their loved one has gone and that they've gone to their reward in Christ. Grieve differently than those who have no idea what is beyond death. I don't mean that they aren't sad. Of course they are. I was sad when my dad died. I was sad when my grandmother died. I was sad when my mom died. I still have moments of sadness. Today's Father's Day. And what I wouldn't give to have sit down and have a conversation with my dad. Some of you know exactly how that feels, right? To talk with him again. But here's the thing. I know I will. I know I will. I have a certain hope that we will both be raised to new life in the kingdom of the Son. And I know that all the unsaid things that have weighed on me because my dad was taken so suddenly, I'll be able to talk with him about them. All the things that I said to him that I wish I could have said differently or even taken back. I know he will understand when we see each other in the presence of Jesus because we've both known the grace and the mercy of God. We grieve differently than those who have no hope. Hope causes us to live holy lives. 1 John 3, verse 3. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Bless you, Denise. I think I probably need to repeat that. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. If all you think you have is this life, then what is the point of denying your desires everything they want? If there's no one to whom you will ultimately be accountable, why not do whatever you need to get whatever you want? If it's just survival of the fittest, then you're going to fight your way to the top. But if we have the hope of eternity and we know that we will one day see him face to face, that everything that we do here on earth, the good that we do, counts for the sake of his kingdom, and the foolish things that we do, we will give an account for. If we have the hope of eternity, we will live differently. Peter writes, I didn't write down the address for this, but you can look it up and find it. Peter writes, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Hope makes us bold. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Pretty straightforward. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Folks, when we live for Jesus, when we live for eternity, What have we got to lose? Really? Anything that we lose in this life, We know we will eventually lose anyway and gain far more in the life to come. So are we going to shrink back because somebody might make fun of us? Are we going to shrink back because someone might even hurt our bodies? Athanasius was a church father who was a teenager during the worst persecution that the early church ever experienced from the Roman Empire during the reign of Emperor Diocletian. The end of the, just right around 300 AD. And later, when Athanasius was bishop of Alexandria, he wrote a lot of stuff, a lot of theological stuff. We've got a whole bunch of his writings. But he spoke of the bravery, he said, during that persecution. He spoke of the bravery of even children, some of his peers and friends when he was a child, who embraced death, going, he said, going to it joyfully during the persecution because they knew that death had been overcome and it no longer had any lasting power over them. Boldly serving Jesus no matter the cost. Who do we need to impress? Who do we need to please? Who do we need to fear? If you please Jesus, that's all that matters to a person who has prioritized eternity. The fear of man is what the Bible calls shrinking back because of people's opinions. The fear of man is not a good look for the follower of Jesus. The fear of man can cause us to shrink back from so many of the bold ventures that God wants us to step into. Lastly, this morning, hope produces joy. Romans 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. As we wait for the promises of God to be fulfilled, we can do so joyfully, folks. Joy and hope are closely tied together. We can laugh in the face of danger or uncertainty because we know who holds our tomorrow. And even while we wait for the fulfillment of the promises of God, we can be joyful in hope. Hope changes the way we live. Amen? We'll end in this scripture, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Isaiah 40, and why don't you stand as we do that? We're going to wrap this part of the service up momentarily, and then we're going to do something, have a Father's Day moment before we finish. Many of you could quote this. Isaiah 40:31 in the NIV says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. I'm going to say that part again. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. Those who hope in the Lord. I want to encourage you today, folks. That our hope is in Him. And hope matters. And if you struggle with despair, struggle with any of the things really we talked about, if you struggle with motivation, if you struggle with grief, if you struggle with endurance, if you struggle with stuff becoming an idol, the answer is hope. The answer is to get our eyes on Jesus. The answer is to get an eternal perspective. We're going to sing just a song in as a response, as a prayer of worship to the Lord right now.
Light of the
praise you, Father. All our hope is in you, God. All our hope is in you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, I pray for every person in this room. God, we deal so much in the tangible stuff of life, in the temporary things that we see around us, and so often it's easy to get sucked into focusing our hearts and our attention on those things around us, and to forget to lift our eyes off of the stuff and off of the temporary, and to keep our eyes fixed on you. God, I pray that your hope would go down deep in our hearts, and that you would have our full attention. So that, God, we live this life faithfully with endurance and passion. And we do the work of the mission you've called us to do. And we live well in this world, lifting others' eyes up. You know, it's interesting. The hope that God has worked through his church in the world over the centuries has always had a rooted, grounded impact on the world around us. I don't know if you understand, but public education exists because the church cared about educating children. Hospitals exist because the church cared about bringing healing and hope to sick and dying people. Universities exist because they were originally places of equipping people for the work of God in the world. Hope, if it's real, has to make a difference. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm going to ask all the men in the room, you're over 18 and you're a guy, you're a dude, come on up, please. Ah, yes, thank you. Thanks for reminding me that. Yeah, there's a, just outside the doors, there's a little, a photo op backdrop. If you want to get a picture with somebody today, with a dad, with a grandpa, with someone, great opportunity for that. Hey guys, no, let's not play with the laser. Yeah, okay, not right now, bud. Okay. Yeah, can we? Yeah, we're switched back there. I need that remote, dude. Where's the remote? Thank you. Men of God, I came across this verse in my scripture reading this week, guys. And quick backdrop to this story. David, King David, most famous and best king in all of Israel's history, King David was about to die. He He had already anointed his son Solomon to be the next king. He'd already installed Solomon as the next king. But he was on his deathbed, and he wanted to leave some words for Solomon, who would follow him as king of Israel. And here's what he said. I am about to go the way of all the earth. That's Old Testament speak for I'm dying. I'm about to go the way of all the earth. He said, so be strong. Act like a man and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. Isn't that interesting? He says, be a man, be strong and act like a man. What does it look like to be a man? What does it look like to be a man? It looks like observing what the Lord your God requires and walking with him in obedience. Living a life that resounds around you for the sake of others to know how good God is. Amen? And guys, thanks, bud. There's a variety of people across this, the front of this room right now. Some of us have been trying to do this thing for decades. Some of us are just starting to figure it out. Some of us have some regrets or disappointments in our lives around this. Guys, all we've got is today and the next day and the next day. And I want to encourage you with what days and years you have left on this planet to commit your heart to say, God, I'm going to find out what pleases you. I'm going to observe what the Lord requires. I'm going to live my life for you. We've got some little gifts for you that the kids are going to hand out if they haven't already. I don't think they have. Little notepad and a wooden pen. It says, may you be proud of the work you do, the person you are, and the difference you make. I want to bless you, men, as we celebrate you today. God has a calling on your life, whether you know it or not, as a man of God. So God, I thank you for every person standing here today, every man standing here in this room. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their faith, their courage. I thank you, God, for the way that you wired each one of us. God, we're so different. We have different things that make us tick, different things that excite us, different things that are passions of ours. But God, at the core, you have called each one of us to live in this world as men of God, to say yes to you at every turn, follow you the best that we know how, to lean on your grace. And probably the best thing that we can do as men as we walk this out is to know that we are loved by our Heavenly Father. Man, you are loved by your Heavenly Father today. Some of you can hear that and some of you struggle to hear it. But please know that you are loved by your Heavenly Father. So Father, bless them. Be with them today and in the days ahead. to live and walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you, men. There are some gifts for you. Yeah. Kids, come on up. Hand out the gifts. Men, be blessed. Folks, enjoy your day. Have a fantastic Father's Day.